Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. I'm joined today by our contributors, Joan Osaire with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And Rana, you're actually in Davos, Switzerland at the annual World Economic Forum. That's where CEOs, political leaders, and even a few celebrities meet to rub elbows and discuss the world's biggest political and economic challenges. And I noticed that this year the theme is resilient dynamism. That implies that despite the challenges to economic growth, whether that's here in the United States or in Europe or in Asia, that our economies are doing all right. Is there a sense there in Davos of, phew, we made it?
Yeah, there really is. I mean, you know, they always come up with these sort of interesting euphemisms for their themes, and this is certainly one of them. You've got leaders kind of going on both sides of the spectrum here. You saw Mario Monti, the leader of Italy, really, you know, kind of trying to say, look, things have stabilized. It's time to invest in Italy again. And you heard Angela Merkel, the leader of Germany, sort of touting all of the things that Europe has done to stabilize itself. And it's true that Europe is in a lot better place than it was last year. And in fact, the world economy is probably more stable than it was last year when the Eurozone was really in crisis. We were talking about potential hard landing in China, and we were getting ready for a sort of a season of partisan politics in the U.S. But there are other leaders that are really kind of sounding alarm bells, and most notably, David Cameron of the U.K. Has said that he would like to hold a referendum in 5 years to see whether his country even wants to be in the Eurozone. So that's not exactly a vote of confidence.
Well, I mean, Bloomberg News recently had this poll from global investors, and they said their number one risk the global economy was facing was the fiscal crisis here in the United States, not Europe. So, you know, what do they know that we don't know?
Well, they're wrong. I mean, they're really wrong. The United States does have a political crisis, but the United States totally has the ability to pay its bills. And worst comes to worst, it can print money. It is not facing the same kind of severity that Europe is facing, where you have these, you know, countries that just don't have any more money and huge unemployment rates and no way out.
It's true. And I'll say that Angela Merkel actually put forward a kind of an amazing statistic. Europe has 7% of the world's population, a quarter of its growth, but 50% of its social spending, which is, you know, pretty unsustainable.
You know, you don't really have to be in Davos, and perhaps it may be an advantage not to be in Davos when you're thinking about the state of the actual world economy as opposed to there. It's silly to say that the euro crisis is over and that things are stabilizing. They've stabilized for the moment. The reason they've stabilized for the moment is because every time they reach crisis, the Eurozone does just enough to patch it up temporarily until the next crisis comes. But the fact is, Greece is still broke. And it still can't pay its debts. And Spain just still has terrible banking problems. None of that stuff has gone away. It's just been papered over. And right now we're in one of these moments where it's not that bad. So all these world leaders can go in and say, well, let's worry about the United States for a change. In fact, I predict within 2 or 3 months, we'll be worrying about Europe all over again.
Well, Rana, you know, there's so many big names that go to Davos, but this year there's not as many as have been there in the past or some of the really big names. For example, the Google founders aren't there. We hear a lot of pronouncements from Davos. We spend a lot of time talking about what happens there, but does it really matter in the end? I mean, why do we care?
Well, it's interesting. I've been coming here 10 years, and in the last few, I've begun thinking, yeah, it doesn't matter as much as it used to. But I'm going to quote my friend David Rothkopf from Foreign Policy, who has said that Davos is the factory in which conventional wisdom is manufactured. And in that sense, it is a kind of a useful finger to the wind. It's a good place to come and see what the conversation is going to be for the coming year. And I think the conversation is much the same as we had last year. Growth is slow. Governments are inert. The richest companies are flying above the problems of their home nations. In fact, one of the interesting things that David Cameron said, the UK is going to be taking over leadership of the G8, and he made it clear that there's going to be public naming and shaming of companies that don't pay their taxes, like Starbucks, which has come under fire in the UK for only paying a few million dollars worth of taxes on $15 billion of profits in the last 14 years by using creative accounting. And He told everybody in the audience to wake up and smell the coffee.
One person who's not at Davos this year is the Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner. In fact, today is his last day in office. Joe, how would you assess the job that he did as Treasury Secretary?
Well, there's one thing he really did very well, and that was manage the financial crisis when he first came into office. The banks are in much better shape than they used to be. He imposed something called stress tests that were hugely important in terms of investor confidence and being able to reinvest in the banks. So give him credit for that. However, when it came to consumers of bank products, of homeowners, of people who needed modified mortgages or were in fear of foreclosure, he really didn't do a good job at all. Those programs have mostly been failures, and he is in no small part responsible.
Rana, what grade would you give the Treasury Secretary?
Well, I'd have to say a B. I think it is a mixed bag. And I would bring up the issue of LIBOR, the big interest rate scandal that really rocked the global markets this year. Over a dozen banks were manipulating interest rates to which about $400 trillion worth of contracts are pegged. And this was a problem that Geithner knew about years ago. Now, admittedly, he had a lot of fish to fry back in 2008, 2009. Still, I think he could have come down harder. He could have asked more questions about the scandal then, and it probably would have actually helped to uncover some of the things that were also happening in the subprime sector and that would have been happening later in the economy.
Well, Joe, looking ahead, the new Treasury Secretary who's been nominated, if he's confirmed, is Jack Lew. What challenges face him? I mean, what's the symbolism or what's the message by choosing him to be the new Treasury Secretary?
The message is very simple. The thing that matters now is budgetary issues and fiscal issues. Jack Lew is a former budget director. This is the stuff he understands, and this is going to be on the front burner for the Obama administration. He wants a Treasury Secretary who really can manage that stuff.
Well, we'll be watching his confirmation process and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast, available for free on iTunes. Jonah Sayre with The New York Times, Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine, thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.